Land of Light.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to the 52nd weekly episode of the series Land of Light. Last week, we said that Abu Zar's brother Unais traveled to Mecca to gather information about Islam and Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Upon returning from Mecca, he informed Abu Zar of whatever he had heard and seen. And now let's listen to the rest of the story. Abu Zar said,
"Tell me about the Prophet's remarks on Ace."
"The opportunity didn't arise for me to hear his remarks as such. This is because those who wanted him to speak out were making efforts to reject his remarks instead of seeking the truth. However, people whom I met attested that he has never insulted or confronted anyone. He urges people to carry out good deeds and avoid misdeeds. He notes that the one and only creator of the world is God Almighty, who has always existed and will always exist in the future. God is unique and is needless of his creatures. Talking to God and making requests from him doesn't need a mediator, and all pure hearts and souls seek God Almighty. The Prophet tells the Arabs not to mistreat their daughters and calls on children to honor their parents and be good towards them. He urges slave owners to take it easy on their servants and to emancipate slaves. This is because slaves are ordinary human beings. It says there's no difference between the wealthy and the poor, and slave owners and slaves, and the only factor that distinguishes them from each other is the good deeds they carry out."
All of Abu Zar's soul searching throughout the years had guided him toward the same righteous path. These guidelines presented by the Prophet were a remedy to the ailing psyche of Arabs. The time had come for Abu Zar to break free from his solitude and to seek the truth. He stood up as if he was heading somewhere.
"Where are you off to, dear brother?"
"I'm heading for Mecca, dear Unais."
"Wait for one more day in order to pack up."
"I cannot wait even an hour longer, dear brother. If I don't head for Mecca now, I would become restless."
After making these remarks, Abu Zar approached his camel, which was on the other side of the valley.
"Dear God, please help me."
Abu Zar was not one of those who liked to live in comfort. He was a Bedouin Arab who had got used to thirst and hunger. He had got accustomed to hunger, thirst, and poverty in the desert. The desert was a tough place to live. Even if at times there would be some ease in life of Bedouin Arabs, it was short-lived. Living conditions in the desert relatively eased in the last 2 months of winter and the first month of spring. If the related tribe members were looters, sometimes there would be some spoils of war. Otherwise, one should have maintained self-restraint. Even the least daily foods may have not been available in the desert. At times, some may even have got lost in the desert with no food left, resulting in chronic stomachaches. In case of mounting pain, There would be no option other than fastening a piece of a stone to one's stomach to ease the ache. Abu Zar was also a Bedouin Arab. In the 4 years of solitude he had experienced in his tribe, he had got accustomed to eating small amounts of food. However, his journey to Mecca was on its 9th day with no food left. He had experienced hunger for 3 consecutive days, while even tying a stone to his empty stomach was of no longer use. He had given the few coins he had to a guest house to take care of his camel. Meanwhile, what really bothered Abu Zar was the apprehension of failing to see the Prophet. In his 3 days in Mecca, he had visited the Holy Kaaba day and night. However, he had not sighted the Prophet. Did anyone say that the Prophet used to visit Rimaj to Holy Kaaba every day? Was this another divine test to assess the commitment of Abu Zar to his beliefs? The difficulty arose further because Abu Zar also had to conceal his intention from the polytheists. Otherwise, finding someone like the nephew of Abu Talib was not difficult. The ruddy complexion of Abu Zar, his lanky figure, and shabby clothes clearly showed everyone that he was a Bedouin Arab. This, in turn, was a major hurdle against his intention to search an upscale district like Abtah neighborhood. So what should have been done, and for how long could he continue wandering around?
Dear God, please help me.
Abu Zar headed for the Zamzam spring to drink water to somehow partly remedy his stomachache. It was the time of sunset and the members of the Quraysh had gathered around the Holy Kaaba, talking to each other. Their talking point revolved around the Prophet and his intentions. Abu Zar had personally experienced the criticizing remarks of tribal elderly figures in his own tribe. The surprising fact was the striking resemblance of the remarks of these two tribes' elderly figures, although the residents of Mecca, due to their higher knowledge, were politer in expression of their views. Abu Zar pulled up a bucket of water from the Zamzam spring. He was pouring water in his container while a deadly silence emerged. Abu Zar turned his head while holding the bucket of water. A charismatic man was heading toward the Holy Kaaba. Abu Zar initially thought that the approaching man could have been the Prophet. He hastily intended to let go of the bucket and to rush toward that man. However, upon looking carefully, Abu Zar realized that he was mistaken. Nonetheless, his grandeur was evident from his looks and the way other men treated him. But he didn't match the descriptions presented by Abu Zar's brothers Unais. First of all, his hair and beard had gone white. And secondly, he looked chubbier, although he was wearing simple, neat, and white clothes, showing that he was not wealthy. However, signs of needlessness were evident in his eyes. Abu Zar quickly poured the bucket's water into his container and tied it up with a long leather thread. Then he placed the container on his shoulders and moved forward to find out whom that man was, hoping that the elderly man may guide him in his search for the promised prophet. Abu Zar was not mistaken. The whispers of the present men made it clear for him that the charismatic elderly figure was in fact the prophet's uncle Abu Talib. At this, Abu Zar was gladdened. He had finally found one of their relatives. He hoped that Abu Talib would lead him to the prophet. Abu Talib circled round the holy Kaaba and talked with a number of men up until nightfall. While the servants of the holy Kaaba were igniting the torches and lighting up the candles, Abu Talib was about to leave its precincts. This raised an opportunity for Abu Zar to end his three-day anticipation.
Dear gentlemen,
Abu Talib had just stepped out of the holy Kaaba when he heard Abu Zar's voice. So he turned around. In the dark, he saw a lanky middle-aged man with shabby clothes who carried a container of water on his shoulders. Abu Talib initially imagined that the tall middle-aged man wanted his assistance. However, upon looking closely and viewing the influential eyes of Abu Zar, he realized that this was not the case.
What can I do for you?
Dear sir, I wondered if you could help me find your nephew, the prophet.
Although Abu Zar sounded exhausted, his indomitable resolve was visible. Meanwhile, Abu Talib spoke out while doubting Abu Zar's intention.
What do you want from my nephew at this time of night?
I am no enemy. My name is Jonadeh, son of Jondab. I am from the Ghaffar tribe. I have long sought the truth until I found out that a man has risen to invite people to worship God Almighty. His remarks more or less embodied what I had sought. I left home and enthusiastically headed for this city to see him, and to hear his remarks, and to follow his divine religion.
The remarks of that stranger shook Abu Talib, who immediately started to address the stranger.
I shall do so. Now follow me while keeping your distance. Whenever we reach my nephew's house, I will point it out to you.
Tears of joy welled in Abu Zar's eyes, who thanked Abu Talib for his guidance. So he started to follow Abu Talib at a distance. Dear listeners, many thanks for joining us in today's episode. Don't forget to tune in next week to listen to the rest of the story. God bless you and goodbye.